In Colossians chapter 2, verses 20, and then moving into chapter 3, all the way down to verse 4. That's our section this evening, if you want to go ahead and open up there. What you have here is in verses 20 through 23 at the end of chapter 2, Paul starts to talk about the fact that they are giving into these worldly laws, or laws that are man-made. You think about the Pharisees and the laws that they added on and on that they did just so that they could justify themselves before their peers. And they could say, well, I didn't even get this close to breaking the law. And so they'd add on to those things. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Paul really starts to get into it and say, listen, let's stop focusing on the fleshly things and let's start focusing on the heavenly things. Let's start focusing on the spiritual things that truly matter, that truly count when it comes to your salvation, that truly count when it comes to living the Christian life. And so that's what we're focused on this evening. And one of the things that is very, very upsetting to me is what we read about in verses 20 through 23. Because it's not something that just happened back in Paul's day. It's something that happens today. Maybe not in the exact same laws, but still men are making up laws and doing things to judge people by, to hold them to a standard that God never implied, that God never forced upon us. Let's go ahead and read verses 20 through 23. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. What I want to talk about right now is we got to make sure that we aren't doing this ourselves, that we're not starting to add on to other people's salvation issue, right? They got to follow Christ just like we need to follow Christ. But sometimes we come up with our own opinions that we feel we need to follow, that are going to help us. And in many respects, that's okay, right? I mean, if we think something's going to help me to better follow Christ, then I'm going to strive to do that. You know, let's say I'm going to make it a law for me to make sure that I get up every morning at 5:15 and I'm going to read my Bible for 30 minutes. That's what I'm going to hold myself to. That's a standard I'm setting for myself. But to then start implying that and pushing it on somebody else and saying, you have to get up at 5:15 and you got to do this, otherwise you're not really a Christian. You know, you're not really living the life. And then that's wrong. That's horrible when you get down to it. We're starting to put things on others that we shouldn't. One thing that I've noticed, and maybe it's because of the invention of social media, but one of the things that I've noticed is we post something on social media, and it might be a decent question or an encouragement to be faithful or to do something. Or maybe we're just trying to incite an argument. I don't know. Sometimes we do that. But it's posted on there. And then we start to see Christians bicker among one another and start to argue as to why that's right or why that's wrong. And one of the hot topics that's been going on, of course, for the last number of years is whether or not to homeschool or send your kids to public school or send them to private school or send them to this. That's been one of the hot topics for the last number of years, is whether or not we should do those things as families. And in some cases, we start to really pressure families into saying, well, you have to homeschool because look at what's happening to the public school system. Look at all these things that have been going on. God's just being ripped out, and they're starting to put all these things into the textbooks, and they're teaching your children this and that. Therefore, it'd be a sin if you send your kids to public school. Now that's pretty harsh, isn't it? But those are things that are being implied. You know, maybe they're not coming right out and saying that you're going to be condemned if you do that. Maybe they are. But that's one of the sad things that's starting to happen with Christians just in the United States here. I mean, we're just seeing it. Things like that creep up where we start to make up a law that really didn't matter to God. And whether you send your kids to public school, private school, or homeschool them, the admonition is the same. Bring them up in the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter if they go to wherever to learn basic knowledge and basic things about this world. Your admonition as a parent from God is teach them about me. And you can do that if they go to public school. You can do that if you homeschool. You can do it either way. So my encouragement for you, if you get caught up in those things on Facebook or you get sucked into that, Don't let it hurt your conscience. Don't let it tear you down. Realize that you don't find that in Scripture anywhere. What you do find is God says, I want you to teach your children about me. I want you to raise them up learning about me. That's the encouragement from God. And you have to decide what's the best way that you can accomplish that. And just go from there. Take advantage of the tools that are there for you and make sure that you're teaching your children about Christ and about God and raising them up in the way He wants you to. Now, in verse 20, the reason Paul gets into this is he's saying, listen, guys, we have died with Christ. When we were baptized, what happened? Just as Jesus was buried after being taken down from the cross, baptism what? We were buried. We died, right? So we've died with Christ in that sense. Not physically, but we've gone through that death, spiritually speaking, to come back to life with Him. He says if you've died with Christ, you're no longer needing to give yourself to these elementary principles of the world. Notice that. You know, these are things that are of the world. And he uses some examples. You know, do not handle this. Do not taste that. Do not touch this in verse 21. You know, sometimes we just come up with all these laws and we start to bound people to them. And he says those are things that don't matter. Whatever you handle in this world, it's going to perish at some point. Whatever you taste in this world, it's going to perish at some point. Whatever you touch in this world is going to perish at some point. And not only that, but God's going to come and burn it all up anyway at some point. Don't worry about those physical, silly things. Don't live as if you're living in the world. Don't submit yourself to these decrees, as he says in verse 20. Make sure that you start to live, chapter 3, as one who is seeking the things above. I want to note in verse 23, he says, these are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom. That's part of the struggle with some of these man-made things, self-abasement, severe treatment of the body. Man can come up with some things that make him look very pious, very religious. That's what the Pharisees were doing in the first century when Jesus was walking and teaching his disciples at that time. They would put on these garments that were bright, were shiny, that made them look pure and holy, that dragged along, that were long and flowing, that had the appearance of righteousness. Just their clothing alone, right? It wasn't just that, but it was some of the rules that they came up with. Turn over to Luke chapter 18. And we'll be reminded of a particular Pharisee who is praying. And also a sinner in the same area that's praying. And notice the difference between these two. Starting in verse 9, Luke chapter 18. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple, into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, not something that God commanded for them to do. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. They started to add on laws and things where if you start to fast this much, then guess what? You're better than the other Jews. If you start to do this, you're better than the other Jews. You're more righteous. You're more pious. You're more holy. You're more sanctified. You're more of all those things. And yet God never said, I need you to fast twice a week, right? He never commanded for them to be doing that. But do you notice some man-made religions today that start to do some of those same things? Some of them say you can't eat meats on certain days. Some of them say you have to fast for this entire month. And what they mean is you fast during the day, but as long as the sun's not up, you can eat as much as you want, but you fast during the day while the sun is up. Or you have to pray five times a day at a certain time, and you have to face a certain place in the world. And if you don't do it those five times, then, boy, you know what? I can't believe you. Man starts to come up with some crazy things to make us look more righteous, more pious than we really are. And really, when you look at that Pharisee, you notice he's putting others down while trying to lift himself up. You notice he's trying to justify himself before God by all the things that he's added on, all the things that he's trying to do extra. Is it okay to do extra? To go above and beyond? Sure. Nothing wrong with that. But the problem is, he's saying, because I go above and beyond, or I do this and I do that, that means I'm better than this other person. Instead of realizing and humbling himself before God, his Creator. Now those things have the appearance of wisdom, is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23. When we look at people who are disciplined in how they live their religion and how they live their life, it can have an impression upon us, can't it? I know a lot of people that are impressed with those that have a discipline to pray before every meal. And they do it in public, and I know we try to. We don't always pray before a meal. Sometimes we don't. And it just didn't happen. But we try to. You know, we try to do that. We try to thank God every time we have a meal. I've had people come up to me and say, I'm grateful to see you praying. But you know what? I was just praying because I was thankful for the food that God's blessed us with. Not because I'm looking for praise from someone else. Not because I'm looking for those things. I'm just trying to live how God wants me to live. I'm trying to live a Christian life. We should all strive to live how Christ wants us to, not because somebody else is making us feel guilty for not doing extra or for not doing what they themselves have been doing. As we move into chapter 3, Paul encourages us, let's stop focusing on these fleshly things. Stop focusing on what you can touch, what you can't touch, how many times you got to wash your hands before you touch this or do that, how many times you got to, or what you can and can't eat. Instead, look at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is. Where is he? Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed or manifested, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Notice once again, Paul says the answer is Christ, right? He's been saying it this whole time. All the knowledge that you need, you can find it in Christ. Your life, you died in Christ. Your life is hidden in Christ. And think about that for just a moment. Where is Christ? Seated at the right hand of God. Where is your life hidden? With him in Christ at the right hand of God. When you start realizing where your focus needs to be, it's on the spiritual realm. It's on the spiritual things. It's on Christ. It doesn't need to be focused on so many of these earthly struggles and rules and things that man comes up with. You want to know why there's so many denominations throughout the world? It's because of man. That's why. Man started to say, you know what? I can't agree with what the apostle is saying here. So I think we ought to do things this way. And other people said, well, I don't like that. So instead of sticking with the Bible, I'm going to go as far away from what you decide. I'm going to go all the way over here. We're going to start living this way. Instead of just making sure that we stick with this. Disagreement started to come up and we started adding and taking away, and now there's denominations all over the world. Thousands of them. And it's not just that, but guess what? It's like man has just invented a buffet for the world, right? However you want to worship Christ, you just pick from whatever denomination you agree with. Whatever lines up with what you feel and what you think, instead of whatever lines up with Christ and what he teaches and what he lived and what he died for. He died for his church, the bride, Ephesians chapter 5. That's what we should be focused on. Are we being his church? Are we following after the groom? Are we striving to live the way he wants us to? Not how I want to or how somebody else thinks I ought to, but how Christ wants me to. I want you to notice a few things about Christ here. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 27. Our existence as Christians, if you've been baptized and immersed into Christ, and you've clothed yourself with him, as Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 3, then our life is in him now, as Paul just mentioned. But notice, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Notice verse 29. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Notice Christ being in you, who is the hope of your glory, that he mightily works within you. His power is within you. Notice chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You've received him. He is in you. Walk as though he lives in you. Skip over to chapter 3. Notice verse 11. He says, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Skip down to verses 15 and 16. Let the peace of Christ rule, where? In your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell where? Within you. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Our life is hidden within Christ. But also notice that Christ is within us. He's sitting at the right hand of God, and we are to be living as Christ is within us. And as we understand that our life is hidden within him at the right hand of God. And also think about Paul. We read it this morning, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Where he says, I've been crucified with Christ. I've died with him. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, right? I'm living according to Christ. I'm allowing him to live through me, to use me, for me to be his tool in this world. And I'm focused on the things that he wants me to focus on, not what my physical flesh desires. You notice that's all verses 20 through 23 is. If you really want to get down to it, verses 20 through 23, the physical, the fleshly things, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, the spiritual things. Be ruled by the Spirit or be ruled by the flesh. Which one are you going to choose? That's the decision we have to make as Paul's going through this right here in this book. Would you rather have a piece of paper with a box to check? Did I complete all of these things today or this week so that I can come before Jesus and I can come before God and I can say, listen, look at all the things that I did. I fasted more than the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. I did it 3 times a week. I didn't just tithe. I went above and beyond the tithing. I didn't just do a tenth of all that I received. I did a 15th. Of all that I received. Therefore, God, you should let me in to heaven. That's not how we should live. We should live following after Christ. And if I'm going to fast, I'm going to fast. But you remember what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount? To fast in such a way as you don't flaunt it. Right? He said, nobody should really be concerned whether you're fasting or not. If you choose to fast, that's up to you. Fast. Whatever you determine in your heart to give, give. Live focused on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth or of the flesh. So keep seeking what's above. Know that your new life is hidden within Christ and that our new life will only be seen when Jesus is manifested. If you go back to chapter 3 in verse 4, he says that when Christ, who is our life, is revealed or manifested, or when he comes back and everyone in the world sees him, that's when our life is revealed. And that's when we will be revealed with him in glory. Now, I know that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about those who have died in Christ will go first and meet him in the air, and the trumpet and the angel of the Lord and all those things are going on. I still can't even quite picture it, if you know what I mean. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to be a part of that. But it's also an awesome feeling and understanding to know that when he comes and when he's revealed, that's when you and that's when I get to be revealed with him in glory. To understand that I receive any kind of glory is amazing, right? I mean, I'm just little old Travis. Some might call me big old Travis, but I'm just Travis. What am I to God, right? I mean, even the psalmist talks about that. Who am I? You've created the heavens and the earth and all these things. Who am I that you would be mindful of me? And yet he says, I will be revealed with him in glory. That you will be revealed with him in glory. That's awesome. And if there's anything to keep your mind on the things that are spiritual, I think that's it. Remember that if you focus on him and you live your life in Christ and him in you, then one day, that's what's going to happen. And that's what you should be looking forward to, is being together with him for all eternity, but finally receiving the glory that he's promised. Focus on heavenly things. Focus on the things that are above, because that's where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. It's so easy to be distracted by this world, isn't it? We can turn on the news and we can be distracted by all kinds of things. We can turn on the radio and get caught up in something else. We can turn on our social media, open up our phones, look at those things and get taken off course. In an instant, that can happen. And we can get riled up and upset about all these different things instead of focusing on what truly matters. You see, the thing is, if you've allowed Christ to live in you, to change you, to renew you, then you're not going to be so concerned about all those things. I want you to think about a few people in Scripture. You remember, first off, let's start with Jesus. When he was on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. And they don't know what they do, right? They don't understand it. They don't get it. You remember Stephen when he was being stoned in Acts chapter 7? And he said, forgive them. The only reason Stephen can do that, the only reason Jesus was able to do that, is because he was focused on the things above. He wasn't focused on the earthly things or the fleshly things. Stephen's flesh would have been saying, God, smite them now. Kill them all right now. Look at what they're doing to me. I'm your servant. I'm this. That's not what he did. He said, Father, forgive them. Because he understood if they could understand who Christ is and they could receive forgiveness, then one day they could be where he was going. Think about Paul as he's writing to other letters and other people. He says, you know, I know that if I remain here on earth, I could help you. I could be a help to the Christians here on earth. But I'd really like to go to heaven. I'd really like to go where and be where Christ is. Or how about John when he writes, come, Lord Jesus. Or how about Peter when he says, how about we hasten the coming of the Lord? And how do we hasten the coming of the Lord? By showing others who Jesus is. By teaching others, by bringing them to Christ. Think about it. If everybody in the world was a Christian, does God have to wait anymore? Does he have to be long-suffering as Peter talks about 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He's long-suffering. He's patient. Why? Because he wants everyone to come to repentance. If everyone's repented and everybody's come back to God, then what's the answer? right? Hasten the coming of the Lord. Bring as many people to Christ as you can. Have them understand that life is truly in Him, not in the things of this earth. Hasten His coming by bringing others to Him. This evening, if you understand that you need to be focused on Christ, that you've died to these earthly things and you need to remain focused on Him who is above, then let's start doing it, right? Let's not hold back anymore. Let's not keep going back to those things of the flesh. Let's focus on the things above. And if you recognize that that's where you want to be, that you haven't yet put on Christ, that you haven't died with Him, as Paul said, and you haven't risen up with Him, as Paul said, you can do that today by being baptized, immersed in the name of Jesus. If you have a need, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.